goes to Proverbs chapter 14 and Matthew chapter 7, and we'll probably read Matthew chapter 7 first. But I got a couple things I found, and I don't know who wrote them. It just says anonymous. And let me just read them to you. Where family prayer is daily said, God's word is regularly read, and faith in Christ is never dead. That is a Christian home. Where father, mother, sister, brother, all have true love for one another, and no one ever hates the other. That is a Christian home. Where family quarrels are pushed aside to let the love of God abide, where darkness falls on eventide, that is a Christian home. Where joy and happiness prevail in every heart without a fail, and thoughts to God on high set sail, that is a Christian home. Where Jesus Christ is host and guest, through whom we have eternal rest, and in Him are ever blessed, that is a Christian home. I'm an older man. I'm not old. I just want y'all to get that again. But I am older. I've seen a lot of things in life. I've seen a lot of people come through the church. And I have never seen such a time as what we are dealing with now with people that quarrel and fuss and holler and scream at each other in the home. What else do you expect in the church world? We need a revival. Hello. And I was talking to someone not too long ago, and they said, I've been hurt. I said, if you don't deal with that hurt while it's a hurt, it'll turn to bitterness. And it's more difficult to deal with it when it's bitterness. And if you don't deal with it, it'll turn to hate. It's only one step between each one of those. And the devil don't care who you are. Really. I tell you, I see people go to church all the time. Amen. But you can tell they're not there. They're there in their body, but their spirit ain't there. I ran across this other article, and I want to read this to you before we read in the scripture. One talent. I have no voice for singing. I cannot make a speech. I have no gift for music. I know I cannot teach. I'm no good at leading. I cannot organize. And everything I write would never win a prize. But at roll call, in the meetings, I always answer, here. While others are performing, I lend a listening ear. And after it's all over, I praise its every part. My words are not to flatter. I mean them from my heart. It seems my only talent is neither big nor rare, just to listen and encourage and to fill a vacant chair. But all the gifted people could not so brightly shine were it not for those who use a talent such as mine. Boy, I tell you, we're living in a generation. I am amazed at people these days. If they are not doing the preaching, they are not interested in going to church. If they're not doing the singing, they just soon not be there. If they're not playing the music, come on here. Amen. They'll gripe and complain. But I want to tell you, we need people in the pew. And it would help if we had some that would say amen once in a while. Praise God. All right. Turn with us in your Bibles, first of all, to Matthew chapter 7. And verses 13, 14. I preached from these verses some time ago now. And I want us to notice a couple things here in these two verses, and then we're going to Proverbs chapter 14. And I trust that God will help us. Verse 13 of chapter 7 of Matthew, you have it, say amen. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate. Y'all get that? Everybody understand that? Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. In those two verses, verses 13 and 14, I want you to notice especially there are two destinies that are mentioned in these two verses. And really, up to physical death, amen, destruction in hell can be canceled by repentance. Life, on the other hand, can be canceled by sin. Amen. And destruction can be canceled by turning from sin to God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 14. And these few thoughts that I have tonight has been on my heart for several days now. And verse 12, Proverbs 14 and 12, just one verse. There is a way. You can quote this. Most of you probably have heard it so many times, read it. You can probably quote it. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way. There is a way which seemeth right. Amen. I thought today a man may persuade himself that his easily besetting sin and selfish ways are okay. But whatever is not God's way will end up in death and hell. Well, I thought, brother, you may be saying, I thought brother Gabbard preached so masterly and strongly Friday night, and how we need to understand that life is short at its longest. I want to talk to you tonight for a little while. I don't know how long I'll preach to you, but I hope it'll be long enough that you realize that we are in a very critical time in the American church. I want to talk to you about toleration. Amen. I announced that this morning. Amen. If I could say it like this, and I understand this is a little strong term, maybe stronger than some folks would like for me to give you, but toleration is the first step to damnation. Amen. You don't backslide in 30 minutes. You don't backslide in 3 days. It's a process. And it came to pass. Are y'all still with me? And it came to pass. Amen. And those words mean something. That it's a process. Amen. One verse said, in the process of time. Amen. So, if I could say it like that tonight, and I want to get your attention because I feel like I've got something that is on my heart that the Word of God will help us. Toleration is the first step to damnation. Amen. One man put it like this. That which we tolerate, we will soon embrace. I was talking to a pastor some time ago now. Matter of fact, it's been probably a few years ago. And he was telling me in his church, he said, I tolerate a lot of things I don't push. And I thought, that sounds logical, but it's not good. Hello. Amen. There's a lot of preachers, and I know, and some of y'all probably do too, that like good preaching, but they don't want to enforce it. They don't have the strength and the stamina. Amen. They don't have what it, if I could say it in plain old country folk term, they don't have the guts to stand up and tell it like it is. Amen. So I want to talk to you about toleration being the curse of the church. Amen. The Catholics, help me here, the Catholics are preaching toleration while they continue their diabolical campaign to paganize America. Amen. I want to tell you, that little image that is set on the mantle or on your car, amen, a dash cannot save you. That crucifix that you hang around the neck, amen, there's no salvation in. Oh, I mean, it's going to get tight here tonight. I can tell that right now. But there is no salvation in any other except Jesus Christ. The communists push toleration while they enlarge their chance for a revolution in America. Amen. I wish I had brought them. I got a whole packet of little cards about this thick and about so wide and so tall. And I got a hold of those back during the 1950s. Amen. And it tells the communist aim and goal, amen, is to see America go down. And one of their first things that they have on in those years, they had on billboards, amen, in Russia was one of the first things to destroy the unity in the home. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. They are pushing for revolution. Now I want to tell you, amen, socialism is not a product of communism, but rather the reverse. Communism is a product of socialism. Amen. And the next step from socialism is to communism and dictatorship. I don't want America to be turned in that direction. How about you? Amen. I thought today the minority groups yell for tolerism while they launch the most bigoted drive for the control of our country that has ever been in this nation. Amen. Mohammedism, the Mohammedans plead for tolerism while they substitute the false prophet Mohammed for Jesus Christ in this nation. The labor racketeers proclaim tolerism while they continue to grow rich off of the gullible laboring men. The crooked politicians, oh, it's going to get tight in here tonight. The crooked politicians pull for toleration so that they can gain control of their own selfish purposes and desires. The modernist, amen, glorify tolerism so that they can have more liberty in blaspheming, amen, the sacred name of Jesus Christ. And I wish I could remember just this past week, I heard on one of the radio stations, amen, they were telling about such a vile, filthy, amen, a process that was going on in a certain church, and they named the church and named the town, and I can't remember it. Maybe it'll come to me. Amen. But we are living in a generation that wants to tolerate sin in every pew and in the pulpit. Somebody say amen. The worldlings want tolerism so that they will not be exposed for their worldliness. The spineless folks who do not have the grit nor grace to stand up against sin and the devil beg for toleration so that they will not have to be exposed as cowards. And above all, the devil wants tolerism. Amen. Or toleration, for he is the only one that gains out of being tolerant. Amen. Now, I said all that because I've got some things on my heart I want the Lord to help me with tonight. There's never been a more deadly, devilish, diabolical delusion from the modern, amen, wave of toleration tranquilizers that's going on in the church world. Amen. It's rocked multitudes to sleep. Many of them in our holiness pulpits no longer, amen, do they open their mouths against sin. Amen. Cry out against the worldliness that's in the church world. And amen. I thought my brother Gabbard was preaching Friday night. Amen. He said something about Calvinism, once saved, always saved. We don't have to look at any other organization, amen, and condemn them. It has come to the holiness movement, and we, amen, are accepting it day by day because the world is slipping into the church, amen. Are y'all still with me now? And we don't realize how easy it is to take one step at a time away from holiness and godliness, amen. Until the world has permeated the pew as well as the pulpit. Amen. Amen. Ah, help me here. This subject that I'm talking to you tonight has neutralized many old soldiers of the cross until they're no more than statues. Amen. Than soldiers. Amen. They sponsor more excuses for sin. Amen. Than excursions against it. I want to tell you, amen, if there is a weak, help me, y'all stay with me tonight. If there is a weak link, and I've said this in several preachers' meetings across the country, if there is a weak link in a preacher's character, it'll show up when he makes special allowances for his own family. I lost y'all. Amen. Amen. I have had opportunity. Come on, y'all stay with me. I've had opportunity to make some excuses. Amen. And I've had the invitation to make excuses for some of my own family. Amen. But if I make excuses for my family, I'll have to make excuse for your family. Amen. Almost two or three times a week, my oldest son, Ricky, most everybody here knows Ricky. Amen. He lives in Oklahoma now. Amen. He's not saved. And I pray that God will save him. Are y'all listening to me now? Amen. Years ago, when he was living in this area, he prayed at the altar one night. And I was so thankful. Amen. He could play a guitar like Chet Atkins. He had that style. Amen. And he could play a guitar wonderful. Ah, amen. But you understand, Ricky was raised in church all of his life. He knew what holiness was. I appreciate what Brother Gabbard said the other night. Amen. I'll welcome anybody to come and sit in the church pews. I don't care how they're dressed. Somebody say amen. I don't care how they appear. Amen. I want them to see the presence and the power of God in the church. But when people are raised in the house of God, amen, and the old saying is they cut their teeth on the church pew, amen, they've been taught, they've been raised, they've been indoctrinated with the church and the truth of the gospel, they know better, and then, come on here, and then they want to come into the house of God dressed anyway, come on, y'all stay with me, act anyway, live anyway, amen. And then take part in the house of God. There's something wrong. We are tolerating things. Amen. That sooner or later we're going to embrace if we're not careful. Amen. Big Ricky prayed and I was so glad. Amen. I was thrilled that he had prayed. Amen. And he calls me every week two, three times and he said, Daddy, I just want to tell you, I love you because you taught me what's right. I didn't do right, and I know I didn't, and I should have. Amen. But he said, I love you for what you taught me. praise God, I'm glad for that. But I pray that God will still save him. When he came and prayed, amen. Amen. I loved it. I wanted him to play music in the house of God. I want him to play his Chet Atkins style. Amen to every song we sang. But he had long hair down his neck and over his shoulders. Amen. And I told him 3 times during the week. I said, Ricky, if you don't have the money, I'll take you. Let's go get a haircut. Amen. And every time he turned me down. And this is the most difficult thing I ever had to do in my whole life in ministry. Amen. Sunday morning came and he picked up his guitar and his case, still with his long hair. Amen. Started out the door and I said, son, where are you going? He said, I'm going to play music at the church. And I said, I'm sorry. You cannot until you get a haircut. I lost y'all. Come on here. You see, if I made allowance for him and I tolerated his rebellion, amen, that's the bottom line. If I tolerated him, amen, as my own son, then I'd have to let every long-haired hippie that could play music to come to the house of God, amen, and sing and play. I want to tell you, this pulpit ought to be sacred. I said, this pulpit ought to be holy. This pulpit ought to be for holy people that has given their life to God. Help me, I'm in trouble here tonight, and I know it. But we are living in a generation that wants to gradually step away from holiness preaching and holiness living, and just one step at a time. Amen. As Brother Gabbard preached the other night, amen, just little things that we allow, amen, grow into big things, and after a while, there's no stopping place. Amen. Y'all stay with me here. Amen. Y'all say, amen. I don't know what y'all gonna do with my preaching here tonight. Amen. But I'm here. Amen. And I'm gonna be here, amen, for another hour anyhow. But I want to tell you, we are tolerating things that we know better. Somebody say amen. Amen. A dear friend of mine in the state of Ohio, amen, he went to Export Bible School, come out with high grades, amen, he had it up here, but he never got it down here, amen, and he went to church in Ohio, and I know where, and I could tell you where it was, amen, but on certain nights, amen, when the Red Sox was playing, amen, come on, y'all stay with me. Amen. He'd go to Cincinnati. Amen. To the Red Sox. Is it Red Sox? I think it's Red Sox. Amen. And enjoy. It didn't matter if a revival was going on. It didn't matter if it was a special occasion at the church. Amen. The world was pulling him. Amen. And he gradually went the other way. And today he is nowhere near holiness or holiness churches. Amen. Come on here. If you can go to I'm in trouble here. If you can go to a Redskins, amen, football game and enjoy it and scream and holler to the top of your lungs, amen, but you can't come to the house of God and clap your hands and worship God from the depths of your soul, there's something wrong. You are tolerating something that's going to destroy you spiritually. Where do you draw the I'm going to get a little tighter tonight. Where do you draw the line, my friend? Amen. If the Redskins is all right to go, how about the bowling alleys? Come on here. Amen. Where do you draw the line? How about the pool halls? Woo! That's good preaching. Amen. You may not, I'm in trouble here tonight. You may not go to the theater in Culpeper or Warrington or wherever they may be. Amen. But you should get the same trash on a video and take it home and put it in that little machine of yours and you see the same filth and the same, come on here. We are tolerating things that's going to be a curse to the church world if we don't have a revival and bring our hearts
church to the altar and ask God to give us a move of the Spirit and sanctify us holy and cleanse us pure. Come on. Come on. Say amen here tonight. Amen. Ah, amen. I had somebody not too long ago. Amen. I was in a church and the preacher was preaching along some holiness lines. And amen. He said to me after service is over, he said, "I just don't see it like that." I said, "That don't surprise me." I lost y'all. Amen. Because I read in Judges chapter 21 in verse 25 that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's not how you see it. It's how the Word of God says it. Amen. Worldliness, come on here. Worldliness will destroy us as a church. Amen. I'm not afraid of false doctrine. Amen. I know what false doctrine is. Come on here. Amen. I'm not afraid of the Baptist doctrine. I'm not afraid. Oh, anybody listen to me? I'm not afraid of the Jesus only doctrine. Amen. We can scripture to confront that. But when little by little we start drifting and tolerating the world and sin in our churches, amen, and refuse to take a stand against sin and worldliness, I want to tell you, God's going to write Ichabod over the doorpost, and we'll be no more than a social center in a gathering place. We need a revival of Holy Ghost fire. We need a revival of sanctifying power. We need a revival where men's lives will be transformed. We need a revival where people will have convictions in their heart. Amen. They will not change.
Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. My opinion just as good as yours. Read this book. There is a way which seemeth right. There is a way that seems right. I tell you, boy, I knew it was going to get quiet in here tonight. Amen. I tell you, you can go to a restaurant. You can go to McDonald's. You can go anywhere, amen, to eat. You can go to the mall. You can go to the store. You can go to Walmart. And you'll see people dressed in ways, amen, that is an abomination to God. Come on, are y'all still with me? Amen. And is a disgrace and should make a godly man blush. Amen. But we are allowing little by little, amen, steps to come in the church world. Amen. I don't know what y'all going to do here tonight, but I'm trying to talk to y'all. Amen. And get us to understand that toleration, amen, is a curse to the church. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Hey, ladies. Oh, God, help me here. Lace is beautiful. Every woman I know of likes lace. Amen. But lace is like a barbed wire fence. It covers a territory, but it don't hide nothing. Amen. Help me here. Ah, if you're going to wear lace up here, put some material behind it, my friend. Amen. If you don't, we'll tolerate it little by little until the same filth that you see in Walmart, amen, or Golden Arches, or anywhere else you go, amen, is going to wind up in the church pew and singing behind the pulpit, amen, because we allow it. We tolerate it. It's not so bad, but it's a little foxes that spoils a vine. Amen. Come on here. If you allow this much, will you allow this much? If you allow this much, will you allow this much? Come on, y'all stay with me. Amen. I'm reminded years ago, probably 40 years ago now. Amen. I read an article, I believe it was in Reader's Digest.
He was a movie producer. Amen. And his wife come on the stage while where he was directing. Amen. The movie's supposed to be making movies, and she had a real short dress. Amen. Way up on her thighs. And he looked at his own wife, a movie producer, if you will, and said, "That ain't gonna fly here. Go home and get some decent clothes on." That's been 40 years ago. Of course, everything's changed since then. Amen. You know what she did? Amen. She went and got a nice dress. Amen. Hemline way down below her knees. Amen. She came on the set and she twirled around and said, "Is this okay?" "Oh yeah, that's fine." Amen. The next day she came. Amen. She had a seamstress to take it up a half inch. Amen. And she came on the stage and twirled around. Amen. And said, "Is this okay?" He said, "Yeah, that's fine." The next week, amen, she had the seamstress keep taking it up. Amen. Before it was over, it was just as short, amen, as it was when she wore that, amen, ungodly dress. How come? He became desensitized. He got to where he saw it so often that he tolerated it and didn't think much about it. Amen. I'm talking to you about holiness, folks, tonight. Amen. If we don't stop tolerating the world in the church, amen, we're going to be just like the rest of the worldlings out there. Amen. And there'll be no different. Amen. The God of heaven, amen, will bless holiness because holiness is right. And the fire of Pentecost, amen, come on, are y'all still with me? The fire and the power of Pentecost will fall among us when we embrace the truth. Amen. And we want to live by it. Amen. Toleration has caused many to cease being peculiar people. And they're trying to be popular people. Am I doing all right here? If you agree with this preaching, raise your hand. Well, praise God. You're doing better than I thought you were. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for a man that we all know here, Chip Roy. Does everybody here know Chip Roy? When he got saved, amen, he was a long-haired, doping hippie. They called him Hippie Chippy. Hello here. Does anybody remember? Yeah, I remember when he prayed through. Amen. I remember when he first went to Export Bible School. First day he was there. Amen. He had long hair, ponytail down his back. Praise God. Ah. But you know what? Hippie Chippy prayed through. Amen. And he went and got a haircut. And when he got a haircut, some of his own kin folks didn't even know who he was. Ah, but I see that spirit coming into the church world. Come on here. Amen. Hey, men. Hey, men. You need to get a haircut, look like a man. You don't need to look like no sissified, feminine thing. Hey, man. Look like a man. Get a haircut. Boy, it's tight in here tonight. But you know what? Amen. That ponytail starts when it's just over the collar. And it's okay. It's tolerated. Nobody says nothing about it. I can tell you what. There ain't that many young men in this church. And y'all, some of y'all young men come up in this church. Amen. And when I would see a young man, his hair getting to be a little longer than it needed to be, I'd say, "Hey, buddy, you need to go to the barbershop." But you're going to offend them.
I'd rather offend them with the truth than to tolerate worldliness and let us all die lost without God. Amen. Multitudes have used the real Bible. Amen. Salvation and conviction. They have at one time had an experience with God. They had conviction just like you do at one time. Now they desire more to be seen than to be clean. Amen. They love class more than they do Christ. Amen. Just as the United States is, ooh, I'm in trouble here. Just as the United States is being swallowed up in the United Nations. Help me here. So the church world in general is being swallowed up in the world church spirit. We want to be like the rest of them. So we tolerate it. But Savvy, don't you love the lost people? I sure do. There's nobody that loves the sinner more than I do. Amen. Those who know the Lord have a deep love for everybody. Amen. And would do anything that they could to help them get saved and sanctified and ready for heaven. But while we love the sinner and we want them in the house of God, are y'all still with me? Amen. Jesus loved sinners. He went home with sinners. But he did, come on here. But he did not approve of their sin. Amen. He said to that woman, go your way and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Amen. Amen. We must love sinners. We must love the worldling. And I want to go a step further. We need to love hypocrites. Come on here. Somebody said, I go to church, but there's a hypocrite there. They don't stop them from going to Walmart and stopping in the aisle and talking to them for 30 minutes. Amen. They go to the same store and buy. Am I doing all right now? Amen. Ah, amen. We don't love the worldliness and we don't love the compromise and we don't love their sin. Amen. But we love them. And we want them to get in the altar and pray through. Amen. The Apostle Jude, amen, put it in inspired Holy Ghost terms. Amen. He put this truth just in the right setting when he said, and if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted with the flesh. Amen. Help me here. I'd like to take every sinner that I know and that comes in this house of God. I'd like to put my arm around them and tell them Jesus loves them. Amen. And his mercy is far reaching. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, I'm not going to embrace their sin. I'm not going to embrace their worldliness. Amen. Come on, y'all stay with me. Amen. What y'all doing with this tonight? But I want to tell you, I've seen some church people that have such a mean spirit about them. They're ugly to talk to. Amen. They got the feeling stuck out on their shoulder. Praise God. Boy, am I doing all right now. And if you knock that chip off of their shoulder, they're going to give you a piece of their mind that they can't afford to give away. Amen. But I want to tell you, that's not right either. That's nothing. Amen. That has no, oh, I'm doing all right here. I'm trying to help Massanova Pentecostal Church to come to the realization, amen, that we need to rescue those in the burning fire, hating even the garments spotted with the flesh. Amen. Help me here. Am I doing all right? Amen. According to Jude, while we love everybody, there must certainly is a difference between love and tolerance. Amen. We love them, but you don't need to tolerate their sin and their worldliness and the worldly appearance.
assurance. Get sanctified enough. Somebody said, oh, Brother Savage, in the church where I go, and I've heard this so many times, they'll allow this and this and this. Amen. And I just grew up with that. I want to tell you, what about the book? Amen. A man told me some time ago now, he said, in my book, and I said, in your book doesn't count if it does not correspond with God's book. This book is holy. This book is right. This book is, come on here, this book is God's word. Amen. Amen. And I tell you, hate the garment that is spotted by the flesh. Amen. That leaves no room for the silly, sentimental, satanic attitude that many are taking towards sin and worldliness in our day. Amen. No one can be tolerant towards sin of any kind in the world and have the blessings of the Lord upon their life. Amen. God wants His people to be clean people. Come on, somebody say amen. God wants His people to be holy people. Amen. God wants, come on, stay with me here. God wants holiness more than long sleeve. Amen. And a high neck in your dress. And long sleeve on the men. And good haircut. God wants more than that. He wants holiness in the heart. And that's where the seedbed of all worldliness starts, is in the heart. Amen. If you get the heart right, the outside's going to be right. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, this evening, toleration is a curse to the church. God give us a desire for a revival, a sanctification, and dedication, and commitment to where we can say goodbye to the world and everything that's affiliated with the world. It's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord.
Amen. I hear people say, oh, but Brother Savage, look how well some of the worldly churches are getting along. Don't you think that God is blessing them? Whenever they dismiss Sunday night service so they can all go home and watch the Cowboys play the Redskins. I lost y'all. Amen. My answer to that question is, God is not in a million miles of that kind of church service. I lost y'all. I know. I'm old and I'm fogey, and I'm outdated and belonging yesteryear, far as some folks is concerned. But I'm telling you, the truth is, this book is still right. There is a way which seemeth. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. In my eyes, it's okay. In your eyes, does that count? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes? Is that our standard? Is that our mentality? Boy, I'm telling you, it's quiet in here tonight, but I'm telling you, I'm preaching right. Amen. Just the way you see it, if it does not correspond with this book that said, come out from among them and be ye separate. We've heard that verse so many times, we know it by heart and we can quote it, but it never gets down inside. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Who said that? The preacher. Oh, yeah, I know. Old Brother Savage, he's getting so old and senile. Amen. He belongs in yesteryear. He needs to get up with the times. I understand. Amen. Come out from among them and be ye separate. It's not what I said, but thus saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Little by little by little by little we tolerate until there is no standard of conduct and living holy. Amen. Amen. I want to say, I'm getting ready to close. Watch your attitude towards sin. Watch your attitude toward the world. And if you find yourself, can I say it like this? If you find yourself getting soft in your attitude toward the things that you once saw to be wrong, flee to the altar, a place somewhere, get alone with God until the Holy Ghost can deal with your heart. I'm going to quit. There's a lady in this church. She came to this church many, 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 many years ago. Long years ago. She was wearing some jewelry. I hadn't preached on jewelry. I hadn't preached on rings. I hadn't preached on mother rings. I hadn't preached on wedding rings. I hadn't preached on engagement rings. I hadn't preached on rings at all. Amen. But I got people to praying. I'm going to lose y'all. Amen. And she went home one day, and she came back to church the next service time, and she stood and testified. I had not said anything about jewelry. Where is the praying people of our time? She stood up and testified. She said, I went home the other night and got in my bedroom and prayed. And the Spirit of God came down. Amen. She'd been going to a worldly church, but she came to Massanova. She said, the Spirit of the Lord came into my home in that bedroom. Amen. And dealt with me about my jewelry. And she said, I have not heard Brother Savage preach on it or about it. But she said, I pulled it all off and laid it down, and to my knowledge, amen, she's never touched it again. Where is our praying people? If there's anything in your life, dear saints of God, young and old, if there's anything that's even got a slight question mark, won't you pray about it? Really get in that place with God until the Holy Ghost rings truth and convictions in your life. Amen. And I'm going to tell you another story. And we're going to come pray. Marcia, you can come. Amen. Where's Philip? I just missed him. Amen. This has been years ago as well. There's a young lady in this church. At that time, she was a teenager going to public school. Amen. And she was getting involved in some things that was not conducive to holiness living. Amen. And I took my wife and went to their house and sat down in their living room and talked to her about it. And I said, have you prayed this through? She said, well, she said, this girl's grown, married, and got children now, so you don't even try to guess who it is. Amen. She said, well, I guess every night when I go to bed, I say my prayers and ask the Lord to help me. Amen. I said, that's not what I'm talking about. Is anybody listening now? I said, have you prayed through until you know what God wants in your life? She said, when I go to church, she said, I go to the altar. And that was when we had these altar benches before the new building was ever built. Amen. She said, I go to the altar and I pray and ask God to help me to be a good Christian. I said, that's not even what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting you alone with God and praying until you know you've touched the heavenly world. And the glory of God comes down and fills your life. Amen. Come on here. And you ask Him what kind of a sanctified life you want Him. That He wants you to live. Amen. She looked at me wild-eyed and she said these words and I'll never forget it. She said, Brother Savage, I guess I don't know what you're talking about. And I see that that is the mentality in our generation in America. They do not know how to pray it through at an altar. Am I doing all right? We have learned to tolerate until we are losing gradually that glorious unction and anointing. And that's, I mean, if you can sing like them, I started saying like Paul, but I never heard Paul singing. Silas sang. Amen. If you could sing like Silas, preach like Paul. Amen. But there's no power and unction. An anointing that when you stand up to sing. Amen. I see. I don't know what y'all are doing with this tonight. But I see such ugly spirits in people's lives. No wonder they have no victory. They are jealous. What am I doing all right now? They are jealous. Yeah. Amen. They are jealous. They are envious. They are not outward sins. They don't smoke. They don't drink. Boy, am I doing fine preaching. Amen. They don't go to the dances. Amen. They don't do all the outward external things. But inside, there is such an ugly spirit that walks around with them. Amen. And you just get in their presence and you can sense there's something there that they don't like. Help me here. I want to tell you, that's just as damnable as smoking a cigarette. Toleration. The curse of the church. Everybody stand. Oh God, oh God, oh God, my Father, I pray tonight, somehow or another, Lord, would you reach in the deep recesses of people's hearts and see if there's any little wicked way, worldly way, desire for the worldly things. God, I pray that you'd purge them, sanctify them, cleanse them, until all self in the world is crucified. Jesus Christ becomes the real soul searcher. In our hearts, we commit our everything to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's come pray. Let's come pray. I hope everybody will allow the Holy Ghost to search the deep secrets in your heart. Oh God, have mercy. Oh God, have mercy. Deal with us, plead with us, purge us, oh God, sanctify us, make us more like you, help us, oh God, to lift our hearts and our voices into the kingdom of God and pray. In prayer, Lord God, that your presence, oh God, that your presence, your Holy Spirit will deal with us. Deal with our hearts. God, don't leave us alone. Don't leave us to ourselves. Oh God, I pray that your loving grace and tender mercies, your great arm, Lord, will reach around us, draw us near and close, that Jesus Christ will become more precious to us than ever before. And oh God, we want to be like you. Oh God, we want to be more like you. We want our lives to be just like Christ. Breathe upon us, we pray tonight. Oh God, I pray for your mercy, your love and grace and tenderness. God, to touch hearts. Help us, Lord Jesus, to shut out everything of this world and the world's desires. Commit our lives into your keeping care for Christ's sake. Lord Jesus. Precious name we pray, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name.